Jack McCormick, part of the Soundbeat Class Partnership. Learn how students are interacting with historic sound right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Berry.
K-A-K-U.
I just fill awkward silences with my laughter.
88.5 FM. It's time to pound the poi on the local show. K-A-K-U-F-M, Kahului, Maui, the voice of Maui.
Show with me, Brother Tony Midnight, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui. We got Brother Jaren of Jaren's Movie Reviews again today for another Thursday afternoon fright. Well, not too much horror movies today. We're going to be talking about some action stuff too, putting in some action in there. So how's it, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Tony.
Yeah, we both watched some action flicks. A little change from the
horror. I think we got one horror, one action like I do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I got one. I got one action, and then I got a string of short films.
Ooh, yes.
That I put all together by the people down at Womp Stomp Films.
Ooh, the Ghost Cut. Yeah, we can just call it the Ghost Cut.
The Ghost Cut. And I've actually watched this last Friday. Mm-hmm. Again, last Thursday. If you joined us here, we're talking about Friday the 13th and all that stuff. And the movie that I chose to watch when we get into that was Part 6. And then I remember, wait a second. Jaren told me that Tom Matthews
yes.
Is in the string of fan films. And you reminded me many times before, and I'm like, no, I'll check it out. I finally, like, it popped in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one. Let's check this one out, man. And then finally got around to checking that one out. So.
Yeah, chose a Friday the 13th to get back into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's something that's going to hold you over until Hollywood gets their stuff together and decides to, you know, not make it a whole rights issue.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into it. You want to start off first, or should I?
You go first.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay. So the action film that I recently watched just got a stream release on Hulu. So I have Hulu, and I was like looking over it, and like I'm gonna check this one out. I had it in my list, so I put it on, and it's the 2024. It was released earlier this year. But I feel needed a bigger distribution because overall this movie was pretty action packed, popcorn action, you know, like just along the lines of like John Wick. I mean, John Wick is better, but you know, the whole action packed movies and the type of violent modern films that we like nowadays, you know, on par with movies like Nobody and
I got a little bit of Kill Bill from that trailer.
Yeah, a little bit of Kill Bill, a little bit of that.
A little bit of Scott Pilgrim, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, Scott Pilgrim, maybe it's a Ready Player One kind of idea, you know, but very violent film. It's called Boy Kills World, and it's based in a kind of dystopian type society. I don't know. I don't get Hunger Games. I don't get Hunger Games from. I get more like.
Like Running Man?
Like Running Man kind of deal, you know? Okay. It's a world ruled by one powerful family kind of deal. And then every year they have this thing called the Culling, where they give the nation the entertaining show of people being sacrificed in some way, a declared enemy of the family kind of deal.
Yeah.
So it starts Bill Skarsgård, and everybody knows Bill Skarsgård, and he's very popular. He's Pennywise. He's the Crow.
And he's going to be Nosferatu. We can forget that he's the Crow. He's going to be Nosferatu. Yeah,
he's going to be Nosferatu. He's going to be a vampire. He's going to be another horror character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as well as Pennywise, I think he's continuing on with that character because they
got him
for the series. So
yeah, the Max TV show, Welcome to Derry.
Yeah, what else films I can think of that he has been a part of? Because he's been in a lot. Been in a originally remember him being in a TV show, kind of a supernatural type TV show that came out a while back, and from there on, I'm familiar with his brothers and their work in film.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, but I feel like I've seen him in something else prior to him showing up as Pennywise in the It films.
You know what? He had a bunch of small roles in movies that I can think before It. Atomic Blonde.
He's in Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
Very small roles. Assassination Nation. He was that one ex-boyfriend or jealous boyfriend of the main character. Yeah, again, very small roles. He was just that weird looking dude. It's kind of cool how he kind of rose up to stardom, especially after It. Rather tall
kind of guy. Okay,
yeah.
Especially when
I keep forgetting he's the villain in John Wick 4.
I haven't watched John Wick 4, so I'm going to give
it. Oh, yeah. No, he's the main villain in part 4.
I only seen John Wick. I own 2, 3. I have 1, 2, and 3 on Blu-ray. Only watched 1. Never seen 2 or 3.
Oh, my God. 2, absolute awesomeness. 3 and 4, it only gets better from there, man.
You gotta check it out.
When 5 comes out, you better watch them.
Is there 5? What?
There's gonna be. There's no way they ended the movie like that.
Quick side note, yeah. I like the confirmation of Constantine 2 that's on the internet right now. So.
Oh, yes.
Confirmation I'm for down. Constantine 2.
I'm down.
Bill Skarsgård is in here. It's a weirdly produced among other producers. One of the main producers for the film is Sam Raimi, so that's where I'm like at the end of the movie, I was looking at the credits and I'm like, oh, that's the reason why there's a lot of blood and gore in this movie. It's just Sam Raimi. I like that Sam Raimi. He saw it and was like, this is something that I would make kind of deal.
Yeah,
you know.
I love when horror producers or directors, when they're part of action films, they really they give it that grit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then other people in the cast in this show, Jessica Roth is in it. Everybody knows her from Happy Death Day and a couple of other movies that has come out since. Michelle Dockery, Downton Abbey. It's that British show.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Gentleman, Nonstop. She's in some movies, you know.
The Gentleman.
Yeah, yeah. The movie The Gentleman. Not the TV, not the Netflix one, but the same director. There was one with Matthew McConaughey and Charlie Hunnam, Hugh Grant, Michelle Dockery.
Is this a British movie?
It's a Guy Ritchie movie.
It's Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the one I'm thinking of. It's the one with...
And then Netflix picked up a prequel with their TV show. Same director.
I'm not thinking about Tom. Tom Hardy's not in it. The Gentleman. What am I thinking of?
Tom Hardy was in a fair amount of his... Well, thinking of Guy Ritchie, I think the only movie I can think of is Rock'n'Rolla.
Rock'n'Rolla. Okay. Yeah. Who else is in here? Brett Gelman from Stranger Things. I only know him from Stranger Things.
I forgot who that was.
He's the hacker guy, the one that gets them into Russia in the last season.
Okay.
Yeah, when you see
that weird guy.
Weird guy with the beard. He looks exactly the same
in
this movie. He plays one of the elitist family members, you know?
Yeah.
You got bringing Bill Skarsgård back with a cast member from It Chapter 2, Isaiah Mustafa. He plays Mike, the adult Mike, in It Chapter 2.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and it's so funny in this movie, his character, he's like, he's part of the revolution, but at the same time, he's like Brad Pitt's character in the one he played, the Irish guy. That's another Guy Ritchie movie.
Which one?
Yeah, it's Brad Pitt plays an Irish guy.
Oh, Snatch.
Snatch, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then like nobody understands a word is coming out of his mouth.
Absolutely.
Same character in this one. It's like, he's part of the revolution. And he's like, oh, good. It's got some kind of weird gibberish. And the whole idea, though, of Bill Skarsgård's character is that he's deaf and mute. So he has to read everybody's lips. He can't hear, he can't speak. So he reads lips. So when he meets his character, he's like, wait, what? Can't understand one thing that's coming out of his mouth. It's like, this seems like bathroom dust something. I'm like, and then he just sees the look on his face, like he's selling it. He's like, I don't know what you're saying, but whatever. Yeah, kind of deal. Like, I'll go along with it. We got... who am I missing over here?
Charlton Copley.
Charlton Copley. I know him. District 9, Elysium, Hardcore Henry. I loved him in Hardcore Henry because he played like clones of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a nonstop clone.
He's very wacky. I love that guy.
That guy is crazy.
You should
man.
You should see him in Free Fire.
Free Fire.
Yeah, it's kind of like a modern Reservoir Dogs type of movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he is so funny.
He is.
He's so funny.
Absolutely funny. Yeah. And he can sell action, too, because, like, Elysium, he was, like, hardcore in that movie.
Oh, man. I want more movies of him being, right? Like, as crazy and,
Supervillain.
Yeah, the supervillain.
Yeah. He deserves to be, like, a Bond supervillain or something like that. He's South African. I didn't realize that he actually is South African because District 9 was a South African produced movie.
Yeah.
And
that accent really sticks. I need subtitles for him sometimes.
Yeah. That's right. And then Elysium was the same guy from District 9, same team from District 9. And
Neil Blomkamp, who started off with District 9, Elysium, Chappie.
Chappie, that's right.
And then I think he recently did Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo. Oh, that's a change from...
That's a change.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big change.
I straight up said in my review, it was that Charlton Copley was missing from that movie.
Wasn't he at one time was supposed to do an Aliens sequel?
Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had... Neil Blomkamp was...
He's working
with Sigourney Weaver. He had concept art. It was supposed to be a direct sequel to Aliens. So you still were going to get Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, and...
So kind of doing away with the other sequels. It's like, no, this is the... Yeah. Oh,
and with that gritty sci-fi vibe that he's brought to District 9 and Elysium, you were going to get that with Alien, you know?
That would have been cool.
Would have been perfect.
Been cool.
I love this concept art, man. Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of other characters. And Famke Jensen is in it, X-Men. I like her in a very underrated horror film. I don't know if you've seen this one, 100 Feet.
100 Feet?
Yes, 100 Feet.
Oh, okay.
Famke Jensen.
Okay, this is this an underwater movie or is this literally 100 feet?
No. Okay, Capca Gent, this okay, real quick, I get sidetracking with real you know, quick. Real quick. A very underrated horror film. When I first saw it, I was floored. And this is precursor to Invisible Man.
Okay.
Okay? But the idea is that her character kills her abusive husband.
Okay.
But because the husband was a cop, there's, you know, she got to be put under arrest. They put her under house arrest in her same house where she killed her husband. The husband's ghost comes back to revenge, to get revenge against her. Mm-hmm. So there's situations where it's like she gets, again, abused by an unseen force. It's crazy. It's one of those crazy horror movies where you're like, where did this come from? Of all places, I watched it when there was actually like cool movies that was being shown on Sci-Fi Channel.
Wow. I gotta check that one out, man.
Sci-Fi Channel before it was Syfy.
Yeah, before it was Syfy.
Before it was S-Y-F-Y.
I loved her in Faculty and House on Haunted Hill remake.
House on Haunted Hill, yeah.
Yeah, she's a horror alumni, so love her.
I feel like she did a couple of other action movies. She was a Bond villain girl.
That's right.
In GoldenEye. It was GoldenEye, yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
So it's like the one chick that can like squash your head with her thighs kind of deal. No, yeah.
Jeez.
You can stay away from that one. Overall, though, the movie Boy Kills World, I like the premise of it. It's, you know, this kid, he grows up believing that he has to take revenge against the people that killed his family. Mm-hmm. And he's trained by this guy who's the shaman, played by what's his name again? Yan Ruhien, who is from The Raid. In The Raid is Indonesian, but it's produced by or directed by a Irish filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, I didn't realize that.
That director of The Raid, he kind of started off his career in short films and horror.
Oh, wow.
Something like the VHS movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like some of the anthology stuff that was in the VHS films. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. I never seen The Raid, but I do recognize the actor from the Skyline sequels.
You gotta watch it, man.
Yeah,
I gotta check out The Raid 2. Man, I'm hoping they do.
I feel like I felt like that movie was available in the action section at Tubi at one time, so I'm going to have to check it out.
I will go over and look for it right now.
Yeah.
And then you can... Yeah. Yeah.
And so the kid, because he's deaf and mute, he has this inner voice in his head. And the inner voice in his head is the voice he remembers off of a video game, kind of a Super Street Fighter kind of video game thing. Yeah. And the actual voice actor for the voiceover narration in his head is H. John Benjamin. And people don't realize it. That's Archer. That's Archer. If you watch Archer animated, the animated show Archer, hilarious show.
Yeah. Or Bob's Burgers.
And Bob's Burgers, he's also Bob in Bob's Burgers as well. And that guy has a major voice acting career that's like spans, like he's done a whole bunch of stuff like that.
He's hilarious. He just doesn't match Bill Skarsgård's body or face. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then you have Bill Skarsgård too. The action that he does in this movie, the martial arts training that he had to go through, basically. It's like a lot of Muay Thai, a lot of jiu-jitsu kind of deal.
I'm sure it's more training than he did in The Crow.
Right. it'll eventually show up on stream. Probably it will end up like on Smax or something like that. So I'll end up watching it later.
You can watch it at home now if you pay $20 for it. Fandango
at Home. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I know. I just got a little Vudu offer. It's like, buy it for $20. I was like, oh.
I saw a lot of the memes that had came out after that movie was released, and they're like, it was a lot of it like, no. Like, they're watching it, and then it cut to like the person going home and then putting on Brandon Lee's The Crow, the original Crow. It's like, and then they smile like, oh my gosh. Like, this is better. Yeah. So, in Bill and Boy Kill's world, there's a scene where he's going full on martial arts action. Yeah, and that's when I noticed, is like, dude, this guy's freaking tall. How the hell does he? Who am I thinking of? I can't think of any other person that, like, I'm thinking, like, maybe, like freaking wrestlers that are, like, tall and clanky, but, like, wrestled and stuff like that, doing action scenes like this. But Bill Skarsgård doing full-on action, that's a change. Usually, like, we usually see him like this, like, you know, with the crazy eyes and stuff. There's a scene in the movie where he does crazy eyes. he does pull a Pennywise in this one. Because he naturally can do weird things with his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of adds on to the comic, comic book kind of humor to the film. Mm-hmm. And he goes on this rampage of trying to get to the main head of this family. And the whole time you just see him just tearing apart people left and right.
Which character is the head of the family?
Famke Janssen.
Okay.
Yeah. She plays the head of the family. And there's like a tree. Like, she's the head. And then you have one sister, one brother-in-law. And then, like, just a army of people that are loyal to this elite family in this world. So, yeah, very cool movie. Very cool. I liked it. I liked the visuals in it. It seems like a better movie, than even though I haven't seen Furiosa yet. I feel like this is one that's like, this is kind of an apocalyptic kind of feel. It's not Blade Runner, but it's like, for the budget that they have, they worked with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which, at the same time, when I did the deep dive on this film, it was a budget of 25 mil, but at box office, worldwide take was only 3.3 million.
Well, you know what? They didn't ship one copy out to Walmart, because I would have gotten the ticket there, man.
Oh,
man. I mean, I know they had it for like a Mystery Monday movie and everything, but like, I don't know. I don't know why we didn't get a full release here.
Right? Did it get? I didn't even really like look into it. Like, exactly where did they release the film? You know, did it get released in L.A.? Where did they release it in the U.K.? And this,
I'm sure Oahu got it, but
Oahu probably got it, but probably they one of those movies where they think it's no budget. They're gonna put it in like, oh, we're gonna put it in screen 8, or screen 10 or something like that, right? And I feel like there was not enough promo behind it as well. Like, the promo I saw, there was a good amount.
There was a good amount. Shoot, you know what? Maui Mall's playing a movie called Am I a Racist? I didn't see no promo for that. It's just playing there.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. We get weird, lowbrow, independent films that don't get advertising. And then there's movies that are middle advertising that we just don't get, you know. Boy Kills World was one of them. Cuckoo was one of them. Thanksgiving was one of them.
When I was working there, we got so much action movies, and a lot of people came up to watch them. Mm-hmm. And this is pre-internet days, so not pre, but like, you know, not at the point where promotion is now at, whereas everything is on social media. They have social media this, they have social media that. You have movies that are not only promoting the movie, but also promoting a brand name that's involved in the movie, you know. Boy Kills World, I don't think I've seen enough of it when I was scrolling through around on the internet. And that's basically the main area for advertising now. It's all online, it's on your phone.
Yeah.
I was on
a fair amount of the trailers of movies that I've seen, for sure.
Oh, really? Yeah. I just feel like it deserved a little bit more push than initially it had. But overall, though, it's a great popcorn action flicks. I would say, like, popcorn action. That's what we grew up on, popcorn. I watched Sixth Day in theaters, and that was low-budget sci-fi action with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it was a packed theater. I feel like nowadays, though, if that movie had came out, and like, I don't think it would get that much like released attention back then. Like, if there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie coming out, we're watching an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yo, you know? I remember sitting in Batman and Robin, and that theater was packed.
Whoa.
Yeah, Batman and Robin, that movie. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Did I watch that one? No, I watched Batman Forever. I didn't go to watch Batman and Robin. Yeah. I watched it when it was released on VHS at Blockbuster back in the day. So yeah, overall, Boy Kills World, really good action flick. It should get a lot more attention now that it's streaming. So if you're a Hulu member and you have the premium on there, Boy Kills World, it's on there. It's a little great action flick. You can sit down and watch that one and like, I don't know, watch what like Atomic Blonde or something. You know, it's a double feature with it. Whatever action movie. There's a good amount of action films on Hulu nowadays. So, really look into it. Boy Kills World, really good. It's a different to see Bill Skarsgård as a action star, but he can pull it off. So if he gets more action roles in the future, I'll be down to check it out. I will be down to check that out. So, going over to you, you recently watched a movie that's in theaters right now.
Yes, it is a Blumhouse film.
Blumhouse.
An American remake to the original Danish film of 2022 called Speak No Evil.
Okay.
This one is co-written and directed by James Watkins, who has done movies like Eden Lake and The Woman in Black, and also the original creators of the Danish movie also got writing credits for this one as well. This one stars James McAvoy, Mackenzie Davis, Scoot McNairy, and Aisling Francoise. And you know what? I'm glad this movie came out because the trailers just could not stop playing. For any movie I went to go see, this trailer was just everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I felt like I was watching the whole movie already, you know? Like, you know, a simple, like, you kind of know what happens, especially in the trailers, you know? Family, you know, two families meet on vacation. Mm-hmm. They get invited over for the weekend at a country home. And weird behavior begins to ensue that, you know, to put out red flags. And, you know, the one family doesn't want to come off as rude and tries to tolerate this weird behavior and just like the lifestyle that they're living. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, you have like this weird vibe going on. And the whole third act is just horror, straight up.
Straight up horror.
Horror thriller. Horror. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When I watched the trailer for the first time, I got more of like a suspense thriller coming off of it than
it's more suspense thriller than horror, if I'm gonna be honest with you. A lot of the implications do kind of lean into the horror elements, but I feel like, and I have not seen the original Danish film, and I did get spoiled to how that movie ended. Mm-hmm. And that one was more cold and bleak. This one, definitely a lot of fans of that original film will feel that this American version is sanitized. But I did find more entertainment and, you know, suspense and thrills and fun with this particular remake.
Okay.
And I know that the first two acts, for sure, are very close neck and neck with each other. The third act is very different from how the original movie ended. And that's definitely going to divide fans, but I like this third act because this adds a little bit of a siege, sort of like the final showdown in that movie called Fear with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
The Last House on the Left is also a perfect example. And so I really like how that ensues. There are great performances here, especially with Mackenzie Davis, James McAvoy. It's kind of like he stepped off the set of Split. And he is
just about to ask that. Like, does he bring the
beast?
The beast to the role.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the first half of the movie, it's kind of dark comedy-ish because he comes off very awkward, but also very charming. There's a lot of moments where you as an audience member, you're gonna laugh because it's James McAvoy. He goes a little far like far beyond everybody's comfort level.
Yeah. And but once he starts bringing that whole red flag creepiness to the character,
yeah,
that's when you start getting like, oh,
absolutely.
What are we in for here?
The one that I was very nervous about, because this is a lot more prevalent in the original film. There is elements of child abuse. But that part is very toned down. It's just like, you know, little hints, little implications and behavior like that's kind of put into this version. But it's not as like a big part, because I know that one really, really, really kind of scared people away. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you're like, you don't want that. You want a horror movie to be more fun than it is very dark, you know?
Yeah.
And
Europeans alone, they take dark to the darkest depths in some of the movies I've seen.
Absolutely.
Whether it be from the French or the Danish or even some German horror movies that are out there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when you take it all the way back to the invention of the horror film,
yeah,
Germans were right there, because that whole German art feel of movies like Dr. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and stuff like that.
Yes.
It had this whole darkness to it. So, yeah, right. There's more. The Europeans can do dark movies a whole lot better. French alone, too. The French have done some crazy freaking flicks. But yeah, no, I have not seen the Danish one. Is that available on stream someplace?
I know you can watch it on Shudder or AMC Plus.
Shudder, okay.
And I don't have any of those platforms. I tried finding it. But I know I went into this film, I went into this film wanting to watch this movie for a change, you know, because like we as horror fans were so accustomed to watching the original film and also disliking remakes. And so I wanted to approach this movie as, you know what, I'm gonna watch this one first, and you know, maybe it'll entice me to want to go and watch the original in some way, because the original was kind of spoiled for me in writing.
Okay.
And so it made me not want to watch it. And the fact that they got big actors in this movie and a big American production, I was kind of like taken aback. I was like, wow, this is the fastest that America has ever moved on wanting to remake a horror film.
Yeah.
And so that made me a little bit nervous. But especially like the fact that, too, is that this movie kind of has a little bit of a social commentary about society, about how we as individuals are a little bit pushovers. You know, we see some things that we're uncomfortable with, that positions that we're put into very awkward moments. And sometimes we don't want to come off as rude and say anything. We are very quiet about it. And this movie really kind of shows a little bit of that, but also what happens, and this could also be true about some of the decisions we decide to stay silent and to stay naive, that it could lead into a very terrible showdown, you know, confrontation. And some people have been taken advantage in those kind of ways. And so, speak no evil, man. I wish that I didn't watch the trailer as much, because there are some nuances. It is a little bit on the predictable factor that I wish I watched it blind, and some of those scenes would have been a little bit more shocking, a little bit more on the terrifying level. But this is intense.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Speak no evil. Yeah. Out in theaters right now. I'll check that one out. Not for me. I'll probably wait for stream. I always wait for stream.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, so I'll probably like come back with a review of it. It's like, I finally watched it, and it's
January next Halloween,
2025. And then you also watch an action film too recently too.
The Killer's Game.
Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Before he lost the weight.
That's right. Yeah. He did lose some weight. He looks
crazy skinny. He's very slim down now.
I don't like it.
It's like a tall, skinny, but still muscular Filipino-American.
Yeah, he's Filipino-Greek, I read.
Oh, Greek?
Yeah, he's half and half.
Things. Wow.
And it was weird because I feel like I'm late to the party of this, but I had no idea he was half Filipino.
What?
I had no idea. But it should have been a flag, because his last name is Bautista.
Bautista.
Which is really funny, and I didn't pick that up. But he looks more Filipino in this than anything.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's him not being Drax for a change.
You started noticing the nose, that's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, because he's not wearing any weird makeup, you know? He's just an average dude. It was kind of weird, because it was like watching Schwarzenegger in Total Recall.
I kind of knew it when WWE days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this felt like a WWE movie, really? Which is weird. Okay. It's like kind of very B action movie, you know, mm-hmm. It has a very familiar plot with a hitman who, you know, is very good at his job, but he falls in love, who's played by Sophia Boutella. She's the love interest. And it's weird because I just got done watching Rebel Moon, and it's so weird to see her so soft because I'm so used to her being kind of like a badass, you know, especially in movies like Atomic Blonde, which she was also in, The Mummy remake, and Kingsman. I should say. But she's very soft, very girly, very lovable. Mm-hmm. And so, they fall in love, and then he wants out of the game. He has a little bit of a condition, so he puts a hit on himself. So he visits the one hit girl who can put a contract on him, which is played by Pom Clementeef, who played Mantis with him in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I remember from the trailer. I'm like, wait. That's Mantis.
Yeah. So she puts a hit on him, gets a whole bunch of crazy characters up against him. You got characters like Terry Crews. You got Scott Adkins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you also have Ben Kingsley in there for a good measure to play Dave Bautista's best buddy. Yeah. Ben a lot of weird, a lot of names, a lot of weird ones.
This is a trip about Ben Kingsley. He's a top tier actor. Okay, he did Gandhi a long time ago, and he got awards out of that. Playing a man that he's not even. I don't think that's even his ethnic background.
I don't know what his background is, man.
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah,
he's British, and
somewhat of a rabbi sometimes.
Did you know that he does have a lot of low B movies in his career?
Mm-hmm.
He's done quite a few low grade movies. So
yeah,
But yeah, Ben Kingsley. Wow, the last thing I saw him in, he was in Iron Man 3, I believe.
Don't even mention that one.
playing an imposter to the actual villain.
His name's Trevor.
And he's actually involved in more in the Marvel Universe now.
Oh yeah, he's in Shang-Chi.
He's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Was he in She-Hulk? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, he was in Shang-Chi. I'm thinking about the kind Tim Roth's character from.
Oh yeah.
Incredible Hulk. Yeah, he does reprise his role in as his return to the MCU. Mm-hmm. But Killer's Game. I didn't realize Terry Crews was in there.
Yeah, Terry Crews steals the show.
Really?
If you're gonna watch this movie, Terry Crews steals the show. He is so funny. Almost every scene that he shows up in, my whole theater was just cracking up.
Oh,
but, man. But he's got style. He's got he's got attitude. And
he's also in the. Is he in the? What's that movie Rambo with Stallone and Schwarzenegger? Expendables. Is he in the Expendables as well? Terry Crews?
Terry Crews is in Expendables 1, 2, and 3. He's not in 4, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why, but for some reason I was like, wait, I don't remember him being in 4.
They killed him off. He's a mercenary for hire.
Everybody. It's so weird how Expendables works, because Expendables 4 is so forgettable. But like, I was like, dang, there's like some people who came back and didn't come back. And I'm like, they... have no reason at all, especially if you watch Expendables 3. You know, they have like the new group of people that he hires, the young kids. They don't even come back.
Oh wow!
You know,
wow.
And then like even in 4, they have this weird one where they they have Antonio Banderas' son, which is so weird. I'm like, okay, what is this?
And his actual son?
No. It's played by the same actor who played Will Smith's son in. The Bad Boys 3 and 4. Jacob Sapir.
Okay. I haven't seen 4 yet, so.
Yeah.
You
don't have to. You don't, if unless
no,
they make
No, I want to. I enjoyed For Life. I did enjoy For Life. I finally watched Bad Boys For Life a while back.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about Expendables still. Sorry.
No.
But yes, no. You should watch Bad Boys.
Ride or Die.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. You can spoil Expendables 4 for me.
Is it
Statham's in it though, right?
Statham is more of the main character, and it becomes more of his show than an Expendables movie.
Okay, but I haven't watched any of the latest Statham stuff. I haven't even seen the Beekeeper.
Beekeeper's pretty good.
Okay, yeah. I think the last one that I watched from, didn't he do a movie where he's like he's getting revenge on these guys or something like that? Man of something.
Wrath of Man.
That's the last thing I saw.
Okay. That was good. That's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't find it too impressive. My auntie liked it.
It's all right. Yeah.
My auntie's a Jason Statham fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I showed her Hobbs and Shaw, and she, even though she didn't understand the whole story because she doesn't watch Fast and the Furious, she's like, Jason.
You mean him as every other different character?
Same. He plays the same character.
Same guy.
I mean, even in Spy, I liked him in Spy.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah,
I like the bloopers in Spy. He couldn't keep his straight face because was it Paul Feig?
Yeah,
they directed it. Kept feeding him the most outlandish lines.
Yeah, because he was British, right?
Yeah. And they couldn't believe that some of the stuff that they fed him actually made it to the film, kind of deal. But yeah, so Killer's Game. Bautista
was all right. I think he needs to do a little bit better on his acting.
Bring it up, yeah.
I think I prefer to see him in Knock at the Cabin than this, but this was all right. Yeah, this
Knock at the Cabin. That I recently watched that one, too. I did review that one.
Solid.
He was really solid in that movie. He has the ability to, you know, the right role hasn't landed in his lap yet.
No.
I feel like, you know.
Drax, he's always
going to be Drax. I don't know if it'll bring him back. I think they ended the whole Guardians thing. I don't think he's coming back to the MCU at all.
I mean, as far as a wrestler turned actor, I personally think Dave Bautista is one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, up there with The Rock.
I think he's better than Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson's playing the same dude now. Right. At least Dave Bautista's trying.
Cena's got a lot of films under his belt as well now. I mean,
yeah, now he's just the comedy guy.
He is just a comedy guy. What's the last one he did? Some weird movie where they needed to make up a friend.
Something Stupnitsky or something.
Ricky Stenicki. Something like that. I don't know.
The Prime movie with Zac Efron.
Well, thank you.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay, so the next thing I'm going to be talking about is last Friday was Friday the 13th. The movie I chose to watch, because I pulled out the set. I'm like, which one am I going to pick? I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. So I picked 6. I haven't watched 6 in a long time. And that's when Tom Matthews... took on the role of Tommy Jarvis, completing the Tommy Jarvis trilogy or storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after watching that, I completely popped into my head. I was like, wait, wasn't he a part of a fan fiction films that was released that Jaren told me about? And then that's when I went into the deep dive. Found out about, Womp Stomp Films, found their website, and then there was all the listing. I went through Never Hike Alone, the first one, where it's just the long-winded following the hiker as he finds his way into the Camp Crystal Lake. Yeah. And then you get this overwhelming sense of when's it gonna happen? When he's gonna be? Yeah. So I followed that one, and then it comes to the ending of that one. You know, I was like, oh, well, there he is. There's Tommy Jarvis. And then it ends at that point. Then I went on to watch Never Hike Alone in the Snow, which turns out to be a prequel. And involves another character from the Part 6, Friday the 13th Part 6 film, which is the guy that played the deputy.
The one cop.
Keep saying that weird freaking like wherever you point, ya bang.
Ya bang.
Ya bang.
Yeah,
yeah. Wherever the red dot lands, ya bang. I'm like, yeah. So they brought him back for that one. And then you go through that storyline of this kid that's like, okay, mom, I'm going off to hike in the snow, and not knowing that he's also trying to like find his way into Camp Crystal Lake. That's this weird thing about like people being in the town and say, we're going to Camp Crystal Lake, we're going to check things out. And he gets involved in finding out the existence of Jason still there at Camp Crystal Lake, you know? Funny that the first one didn't have like too much gory stuff, only towards the ending. Whereas the prequel, you get more of like death scenes and stuff like that. For a fan film, that scene of the hiker and the kid in the prequel, That was a trippy thing to see. I gotta
say though, with the one that you the first one, the Never Hike Alone, with it, the long drawn out suspense You know what? If a Friday the 13th film was done by A24 on a low budget, mm-hmm. without it being so much of a slasher, I always kind of thought that that's how a movie from A24 would be like, you know, if it was done differently. Yeah. And I kind of respected it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, it was different.
Overall, though, like, I'm sitting here watching. You have to understand that, you know, he's explaining the story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're going through his journey, not knowing that at any time Jason will pop out.
And then I remember there was a pitch before about, I remember they wanted to do a Friday the 13th film in found footage. And you get some of those elements inside Never Hike Alone, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait.
That was what they wanted to do with the remake or something like that, right?
Originally,
that's right. Point.
So pretty much a lot of things that happen in these fan films were all original ideas that were pitched by the studios but never ever came to fruition.
Wow.
So I kind of like that real fans actually wanted to do this, especially the snow aspect. You know, I remember I was in middle school and they were talking about, and this was like one of those fan articles that's like, they're going to be doing a Jason in the Snow called The Cold Heart of Crystal Lake. I remember seeing like fan posters and everything like that. And I was like, I want to see that. I want to see Jason in the snow.
And it never happened.
It never happened.
Wow. Yeah.
But this was when I was in middle school, man. That was years ago.
Yeah, for me too, for a Friday the 13th fan, you know, we always got like, oh, it's always like continuously summertime in the county where Camp Crystal Lake is.
Absolutely.
So you never think, it's like, what if Jason did try to, because there's like long-winded like jumps between the sequels. It's like, if Jason is still out there, like let's say like from part 2 to part 3 or on that section, right? Like, he must have tried to survive the winter time.
Absolutely.
At least, you know, or at least kill people that enter his domain during the winter time. Yeah, so that was completely original. Cool little story to put together to bring you to part 2, because apparently they labeled it part 2. So it's Never Hikes Alone, Never Hike Alone 2, and this brings full circle from the first one to now, where the main hiker. Is you get introduced more to the Tommy Jarvis character. You know, he's always thinking, you know, Jason is gonna come back. And then you get the deputy that comes in and it's like, who's the sheriff now?
Yeah.
And be like, I told you, damn it, don't come out here anymore. And he's over there trying to hide his shotgun and stuff. Like, so you get for the budget and for the amount of story that they put into it, they really put together a story that really does continue from part 6 on, because you never know. Like, I always had the thought, it's like, what happened to Tommy Jarvis afterwards? Yeah. Like, did he marry the girl in part 6? Apparently not. now he's just still living in the same county, still living in the same town. But he's a EMT, that still has in the back of his mind, still has that whole fandom of like, did I really kill him? Is he really dead? You know? Because since then, just still, this like, you kind of think, take into effect that like maybe the sequels did happen in his timeline, you know? And this is like that area between like maybe Friday the 13th Part 8 and Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, when we get to Jason Goes to Hell, it's like, how the hell he came back from Manhattan back to Camp Crystal Lake.
I'd like to think that those are kind of like its own movies, and mm-hmm. this one is more just canonical with 6, and we'll just ignore everything else.
Well, the creator did say that, you know, it's own thing.
Yeah.
But I always like to like contrast and compare like you know, where in the storyline would this fall if it was actually a part of the main, you know, film series.
Yeah.
But overall, then when it gets to that part, this is where
it's just like Jason X. Yeah. Jason X is definitely not canonical when Jason Goes to Hell.
So the last one, total mayhem in that film.
In part two. Yeah.
Total mayhem because this one has the most kills, the most people dying, and the most story driven. You know, Tommy, you know, they get to the point where it's like, okay, we have to do this. We got to go back to Camp Crystal Lake. You know, the hiker's there. He's like, as much as he's been messed up by this point, he still like gets something like, I'll take you back to the camp. We got to find this certain artifact. Now, I'm not gonna give too much. This is one of those like fan fiction films. If you're interested, you gotta check out. And the whole YouTube channel, I think it's the Womp Stomp YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So it's all on there. There's even like a cut of almost all three, I think.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask you if you have seen it, but I'm gonna take it as a no.
No, I watched it all separately.
Yeah. So. There is a version called the Ghost Cut for Never Hike Alone.
Okay.
So the movie it never uses the logo Never Hike in the Snow. So the story starts off with one of the other short films that they've kind of intertwined with it. I forgot what it was, but there was another short film that was kind of integrated into that, and mm-hmm. then it leads into Never Hike in the Snow, and that becomes like the first half of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the segment of Never Hike in the Snow ends, it shows Never Hike Alone as the primitive
mm-hmm.
title.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the main story with the one hiker who's, you know, filming his little
YouTube channel adventure kind of deal. Yeah.
So that becomes the main story, and that clocks in at about 82 minutes. If you watch that cut, the Ghost Cut, mm-hmm. it should be on YouTube. But okay. I'll check that out
to see how it's all cut together. Yeah.
Yeah. But I found that as a really good addition, especially if you're watching your Friday the 13th marathon, watching the Never Hike Alone Ghost Cut of Never Hike Alone, mm-hmm. Never Hike in the Snow, and there is like one or two other shorter films integrated into one feature.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can watch the Ghost Cut and then go straight to watching Never Hike Alone 2.
Okay. I'll probably check that one out again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I had to give it like a rewatch.
Yeah. And then I think they released their Kickstarter program campaign.
So I did check out the website for the company.
Yeah.
And they led me to a Kickstarter. Right now they want to put together on Full Media their final cut of all of the films together in one.
That'd be fun. Yeah,
that'd be fun. And they're also, if they get the funding fully by the end of the by the time the Kickstarter ends,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is the goal is at 50,000. I'm gonna leave some after I post this up on the Local Show page tomorrow. I'm gonna leave a link so you check that one out if you get the chance, because if they do get the final goal of 50,000, they're not only going to release it, but they also will have funding for their 2D animated prequel that's supposed to be featured as a bonus when you get the final cut on the Blu-ray release.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that one is an animated feature. I feel like they are like maybe at most 60% done with the animated feature, and it's a prequel story of hikers that go into the same woods. But you're gonna get Jason in an animated form, and I don't know what kind of animation. For all we know, it could be anime style. Can you imagine Jason being anime? Anime Jason would be cool.
Oh man, that sounds like a lot of money though.
Yeah, we had animated. Well, we had pixelated Freddy Krueger. Yeah, people forget we had pixelated Freddy Krueger in Freddy versus Freddy's Dead. The Final Nightmare. It's a full video game. Oh, I feel like I would rather play that video game than the actual Nightmare on Elm Street video game, which makes no sense to me. Same thing with the Friday the 13th video game that came out on Nintendo.
Right, right.
I played both games, and I was like, what am I playing? I couldn't follow the story. There's no following. It's bad. You had Friday the 13th where it's like, okay, Jason is like purple.
Mm-hmm.
Bad pixelation, but for some weird reason, there's zombies popping out of the ground every once in a while. You gotta kill them with daggers, and there's killer bats and spiders and stuff. I'm like, what? Yeah, I barely remember playing the Nightmare on Elm Street video game, so I just remember that it was not memorable. So yeah, the Jaws video game I think was better, but I didn't play that one either. My cousins and them had them. It's like, yeah, I played a Jaws video game. Yeah, come over to the house. And then went over to his house to play. But overall, though, the Never Hike Alone series is good fan film right there. I mean, and they stated that it is a fan film, so it's not a part of the full Friday the 13th universe. But I feel like it should be. It should be at least, you know.
Well, that's why they put out their company, you know. They put out their film company, and it was just a bunch of people who are passionate about the project. And we haven't had a real Jason movie since 2009, man. That's like,
that's
like, what, 15 years?
We do, but don't they have some kind of like a mini series or a limited series that they were trying to produce? That
trying.
Like,
trying. So they definitely are not going to make, what do you call, I think they're trying to aim for next October, so October 2025. But they are trying to do a Peacock series.
Peacock, that's right. Yeah. Peacock wanted to do a Friday the 13th, like a prequel, kind of like a Pamela Voorhees origin story.
I'm a little nervous because this is going to, what I've heard from the original pitch, and it might be different, so don't take it to heart.
Yeah.
But I heard they're going to exploring not just, like, I feel like Jason is going to be more of a sidebar thing, and they're going to go more into Pamela Voorhees and the father.
Oh
yeah,
maybe the father or some kind of like maybe the father was Satan.
They kind of they're trying to they got one of the writers from Bates Motel to pen the script. Okay. So unless you're a fan of that might be something you could be interested in.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Well, that's it for this special movie edition again for the local show, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui. Mahalo, brother Jan, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Talking movies again with me. That's it. Keep it locked here for more programming. Aloha, Maui.
Blast will be featured at Kanoa Clubhouse in the Lahaina Civic Center on Thursday, September 26, 2024. Kanoa Clubhouse will be open from 9 a.m. to noon. Refreshments will be provided. Those ages 60 and older are invited to spend the morning at the clubhouse with friends and neighbors. To register, call 808-270-7308, option 3. To sign up to receive Kaunawa's newsletter, visit mauicounty.gov/thebestyears.
Maui's free speech station, KAKU 88.5 FM, Kahului, Maui, the voice of Maui.
The Sonic
Cafe. Searching
up and down
the radio dial,
and then you find it.
The Sonic Cafe.
Intelligent,
eclectic,
cool. We're the Sonic Cafe.
Batteries not included.